summer party, we will party hard. Oh, we are back. Once again, we are the real thing on morelikeradio.com, and it is time to party with my co-host, Chris Wetten. Chris Wetten, how are you?
Partying.
Partying hard.
Yep.
As we are always letting you guys know, it is August 21st, 2016, and we can call it, we're done with summer, right? Are we done with summer?
I think we're done.
Yeah,
okay. I think we're done. We're getting into stuff now these days. It's like, you know, sort of the scraps. It's like Suicide Squad and Tarzan and Sausage Party and stuff like that. So it's, nobody was looking forward to these movies for the most part.
Yeah,
like,
no one. No one cares. This is where, you know, this and, like you were mentioning, early January, February, right after Oscar season is kind of selected. That's where movies go to die or fertilize.
This is where you start, you know, whetting your appetite for some movies with adults and, you know, characters and stories, you know, silly things.
Right, right. So, Jesus, I feel like a broken record. Your number one movie at the box office this week was Suicide Squad.
Good God.
$20 million.
Jesus, people?
$20 million. $262 million.
I guess, you know, and this has happened in years past, too. Like, you release a movie sort of at the end of the schedule, and if you do it right, then you get to sort of reap the benefits of exactly what we're talking about, which is there's nothing else coming out.
Yeah, no competition.
You know?
Yeah.
No other superhero movies coming out in the next couple weeks for it to compete with, as there would have been in any other week for the last 3 months.
But even anything compelling, like you've got your second place movie is Sausage Party.
That's a big success story, actually.
$65 million altogether, but it made $15 million this weekend.
Well, we'll get into that later.
Yeah, War Dogs was third. Kubo and the Two Strings, which I'm surprised that you didn't go see.
I only didn't because we just didn't have time. I'm sure I will go see it.
That was number four. Ben-Hur, your latest reboot, is in fifth place with $11 million.
Surprised it's still Ben-Hur, you know, with all the gendered identity and stuff like that.
Well, you know, don't push your...
It's not Ben themselves.
Don't push your politics on me, buddy, because it may as well have called.
Not my politics.
All of the reviews that I was reading in regards to that movie, you may as well have called it Ben Hur, because they just weren't good.
Yeah.
But you know what else was kind of stupid? And I learned this week. Just a little programming note to that: you have to talk directly into the middle of the microphone in order for your voice to sound otherworldly and sound out. So I'm just so you know, Chris.
Mm.
But guess what?
What?
Guess what?
Don't tell me chicken butt.
No, not chicken butt.
Can't hear that right now.
Over the last few days, Jared Leto has been complaining that he reportedly feels tricked.
This fucking guy.
By appearing
Jesus.
In... Jesus Christ. The Oscar-winning actor's alleged thoughts on Suicide Squad were recalled on something or other in the internet. He did a camp for his 30 Seconds to Mars band. It was a mini festival held in Malibu. And he was talking about how he felt tricked because, quote, he was overwhelmed by all the hate regarding the look and choices of Suicide Squad, but that he believed Warner Brothers would create a more artistic film. But he hasn't actually seen the movie, doesn't care to.
Yeah, what a douche. There's so many douche like elements to that statement that I can't even put them all together. First of all, this guy never stops talking. Like, when... Jesus. He's getting blown by some groupie at the 30 Seconds to Mars camp. And he's like, oh, my Joker was so much better than they did letting me get credit for. Like, everything good we left on the cutting room floor. And then he's... God. This fucking guy. What... Who talks bad about a movie? Like, have we not learned? Like, he's gonna get himself cut out of these things. You know what I mean? Is there any reason not to go, hey, Jared Leto, take a hike, you know?
Right, right.
Is there any reason? I mean, I don't think so. Is there anyone that's going, like, you know what was good about this movie?
Jared Leto.
Jared Leto. I don't think anybody's saying it. Wait, read the statement again. What did he say?
Okay, he was talking about how...
My God. The douche, my douche-o-meter is just off the charts here.
Leto told attendees that he felt, quote, so sort of tricked into being part of something sort that had been tricked. Pitched to him very differently. He was overwhelmed by all the hate regarding the look and choices I thought that he was responsible for.
Yeah, I thought so too.
But then he believed
You're
Warner Brothers
fucking actor.
Would create a more artistic film, a more artistic comic book film.
Thought that it would be more artistic, and yet then he goes on to say he hasn't even fucking seen it.
He was talking about all the scenes that were left on the cutting room floor, even going so far as to insist, quote, there's probably enough footage in this film for a Joker movie. Which we'll never see the light of day, because wah.
How ironic that he's playing the Joker and he feels like he's been tricked, you know? Like, and they even had the I couldn't see that the joke was on me song in the trailer, you know? Like, my God.
Yeah.
This thing's like, it's like Jared Leto Joker Inception here, like, it's fucking eating its own asshole.
Yeah, I think that's probably why I have a major pain in my neck right now, and so I'm thinking whether it's because I slept wrong last night or because of just the sheer stupidity of all this stuff. Going back to what you were saying, though, why would anyone give Jared Leto any more work? Au contraire. Because apparently he is officially signed on as the last cast member in the upcoming Blade Runner sequel.
This thing looks to be like a complete shit show anyway.
He will be joining Harrison Ford, Ryan Gosling, and Robin Wright.
Ford, Ryan Gosling, and Robin Wright. Mm-hmm. That's a good cast. You throw a Leto in there, it's like a turd in a punch bowl.
Sicario director Denis Villeneuve is heading up the continuation of the 1982 original.
Well, that's good, too. Robert I like Scott. That guy. Yeah. Prisoners. What was the other one he did?
Sicario.
Yeah. Enemy.
Enemy, I hadn't seen Enemy. That was the one with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal, yeah. Back to Suicide Squad for a second. I hate to, you know, like, beat a dead horse here, but we never talked about the Rotten Tomatoes backlash from the DC fans. We gotta get into this.
Yeah.
So,
but it's old hash, though, right? I mean, it's the same thing that they did with Batman vs. Superman.
It's a little bit different. No, I mean, they were, like, we've had people, like, fanboys who were sort of, like, picketing about a particular critic or a particular review. These guys are, like, petitioning to take down the site Rotten Tomatoes because the movie Suicide Squad, this was a week before it was released, they were starting this petition. The movie had, you know, what it still has, which is a 25% rating on Rotten Tomatoes or something like that.
Right.
And these guys are petitioning to take the site off the internet, you know?
Because it made their feelings hurt real bad.
Their feelings over a movie they had not even seen yet. So this is bizarre because, first of all, I don't even know if they understand how this site works. It's not like Rotten Tomatoes is like, you know, twisting their mustache talking about how they're going to take this movie down because they hate superheroes the way that I do. but no, this is an aggregate site. So it's like, it's not saying, oh, this is a shit movie. The site is saying 25% of the people who saw this, of the people who reviewed this for us, if saying go see it or don't go see it, are saying to see it.
Right.
75% of the people who saw it, if you give them that yes or no question, say no, don't go see it. Essentially, that's what Rotten Tomatoes is. It's an aggregate site.
Well, but they didn't do the same thing. I didn't see any sort of petition to, we have to take Metacritic.com off the internet right now. It just so happens to be this is...
But maybe it's because Rotten Tomatoes is number one strictly about movies on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
But also because Rotten Tomatoes is actually now, you're seeing it in previews and on posters and things
like that.
True. Like, and you're literally seeing, like, Rotten Tomatoes give it a 94% or whatever. Like, Rotten Tomatoes actually gave it something.
Yeah.
They're an aggregate site. They just take all these reviews and put them together. And the other thing is, this is bizarre because it used to be back in the day, Quentin Tarantino or somebody like that, or Spike Lee, or somebody, you know, controversial, Oliver Stone, would make a controversial movie, and then the fans went and saw it and loved it, except other people who had not seen the movie would pick it in spite of having never seen it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is like this weird, bizarro social media world inverse of that, which is the people who have seen the movie are the critics are saying it sucked. The people who haven't seen the movie are the fans and are saying you know, we're picketing, we're petitioning to get your site taken off the internet. So this,
right.
This is completely opposite of how it used to be back in the day when, you know, Natural Born Killers or something like that came out and, you know, like some Christian group fought to get it taken out of the theaters.
Let me ask you a question. If you're a studio exec, someone higher up that is specifically to promote moving forward DC movies, DC comic universe movies, yes, and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Aren't you please shut the fuck up? Yeah. Like, just, you know, like, bad enough that you've got all these bad reviews.
Yeah.
Bad enough that you've got your primary actor, your Oscar-winning actor, I might add.
Right.
That's kind of just throwing everybody under the bus,
right,
without taking full responsibility for the role that he developed that we've been hearing about for the last year,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
So
we're
still
hearing about it.
So it's his fault, and we'll continue to hear. It's okay because I got more stuff to talk about with.
Sure you do.
Homeboy 3000.
Probably doing a press conference right now about how he can't enjoy getting his dick sucked anymore because all he can think about is his performance.
But as if to just add insult.
I'm a Joker.
As if to add insult to injury. Yeah, add insult to injury. Blowjobs excluded. Then you've got all these fans that haven't seen the movie and are complaining about the thing that someone else doesn't like, and
right,
that they don't have to read Rotten Tomatoes.
No.
They don't have to go to these sites. I'm sure they didn't even bother to go read the individual Variety, Hollywood Reporter, Boston Globe, Chicago,
right,
Sun-Time reviews.
Right.
They just see a number. The number's not where it needs to be. They get wham, wham, wham about it, and then they try to do the one thing that I've never seen any of these petitions work, by the way. Like,
no,
I've seen,
doesn't.
Yeah, like, the only thing that's more ridiculous that actually has happened as of late was the Kickstarter campaign where some guy tried to start a Kickstarter and won successfully. He got like $75,000 to do a festival that just honored potato salad. Like all different kinds of potato salad. And then he filmed the whole fucking thing.
Wow.
And he gave all the money to charity. That happened. This will not. Rotten Tomatoes is not very nice. Okay, excellent,
yeah,
gesture by you, but you snooze your news. You're going to have as much success getting that accomplished as presumably DC releasing a decent film anytime soon.
Well, just like their petition had absolutely zero effect on Rotten Tomatoes,
no,
Rotten Tomatoes in this case had absolutely zero effect on the box office.
Right.
The movie still made a shit ton of money, but guess what? Guess what? It doesn't change the fact that the movie is not good. It doesn't change the fact that most people who saw the movie said, nah, not really. Nah, it's kind of a mess. Now, it's true, again, the audience has it higher, but the audience has everything higher. You can literally look up, you know, some of the dumbest movies that have come out in the last couple of years, and you'd be shocked at what the audience score is. You know?
Right,
like,
right.
It's because, you know, people paid $10 and they've got, you know, a couple Bud Lights in them and they're like, yeah, whatever, it was fine.
Yeah, but
the standards are so low.
And again, I go back. It doesn't matter. You
doesn't
said
matter.
It doesn't matter because this movie's going to make money and it has made
money.
It
already
made
money, yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got Jared Leto and he's going to complain all day and all night. And not only did he get offered, not only did he get offered Blade Runner 2, apparently he's going to be in the new reboot of Interview with a Vampire.
I heard that.
Universal's been busy over the last few years with some pretty big reboots and apparently they are already moving for the Anne Rice beloved Vampire Chronicle series to come back featuring Jared Leto as Lestat. So
it's weird because there was already several other books in that series and they never made any of them. Like, I think they made Queen of the Damned and it was kind of a half-assed job with, like, Aaliyah and, like, some other, like, the dude that, the guy that was in the second Crow movie or something was in it, like Vincent Perez or somebody like that.
Yeah, sounds about right. No, it was Stuart Townsend.
Stuart Townsend, right.
Yeah.
One of those indistinguishable actors from the late 90s and early 2000s.
Right.
Nobody went and saw it. Nobody cared. So why remake Interview with the Vampire? Why not just make The Vampire Lestat or one of the other 10 books that she wrote or whatever?
Well,
certainly, why cast Jared Leto in it? My God.
Well,
Tom Cruise being cast at the time was, like, big deal. Like, nobody wanted Tom Cruise to be cast. Fans of the book, that is. And Anne Rice sort of vocally did not want Tom Cruise. And then famously sort of
Recanted her statement.
Like,
yeah.
he was tremendous. Like, but still probably top five Tom Cruise roles, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, at the very least, I could kind of see their point. I mean, everyone's talking about Ding Dong over here.
Yeah.
And, you know, any press is good press. So,
many good actors out there that you
sure
could get to play this guy, you
yeah
know, like there's good, like imagine one of, there's plenty of good actors who are also good looking. I'm not suggesting we go out and get Paul Giamatti to play Lestat, you know, like
right,
get Ryan Gosling, get one of these guys that's not only a good actor, but also, you know, like an Adonis. Like, I would love to see that. There's plenty of these guys out there. We don't need to get Leto, who has done nothing. Yeah, and yeah. As a matter of fact, for a studio right now, I'd be surprised if that thing happens. I'd be surprised. Because what he's doing right now, it's poison.
Well, he's talking... Well, someone wants him to be on the film. It hasn't actually officially happened. It's not like Blade Runner 2. Like, that apparently is a done deal. And so... However that manifests into film, and, you know, I would like to think that he's probably going to be reined in a little bit more. Now that he he does not have the ability to shut the fuck up. He's clearly method acting his way into just being a complete douchebag. Maybe
he's
going to
be... Can you imagine how insufferable he's going to be if he gets the Vampire Lestat role? My God.
Well, you know what was really funny is that...
Natural fingernails. Seems to be, like, chewing up rats in the hallway and stuff.
God damn it. Like, I was... I saw the article about how he was complaining that he got tricked. This grown man, by the way.
Yeah,
not this man. Child. He got tricked.
Tricked into receiving several million dollars, I'm guessing.
Right. If you didn't like it, give it back. Give all $7 million of it back. I talked about this on Hippo Juice, which you're going to hear coming up next on morelikeradio.com. But in the meantime, you're listening to The Real Thing on morelikeradio.com. But what I was saying, though, is that he is complaining. He's got $7 million. His... dick is big as a goddamn hog, you know, like it's just like a fucking forearm, like going down his leg or whatever. And I only know that because our friend Mandy, who went to go see the movie Suicide Squad with us in Orlando, her and Tina were just making like audible noises anytime that he came on, which is fine, I guess.
Oh, they're into Jared Leto?
He's a pretty boy. Yeah, he's a pretty boy. Mm-hmm. But everybody's been in love with him since the fucking 90s when My So-Called Life came out. Yeah, so.
Acting has not advanced past that, by the way. It's just like sort of wide-eyed pretty boy.
But you and I, I think, are on the same page. Like, really, that guy? Like, Orlando Bloom? Like, really, that guy with Katy Perry? Like, but there's always going to be people that like him. People that like him. Because, I'm sorry, my mic fell down.
Speaking of big dicks, yours knocked over the microphone. No, you know, but that's what upsets me is that, you know, like, okay, he's a pretty boy. So is Gosling. Gosling was amazing in The Nice Guys. Like, he was so funny. He's such a good actor. And in many other movies like Half Nelson and things like that. Jake Gyllenhaal is a pretty boy. He was freaking amazing in Nightcrawler and many other movies. Give these guys these kind of, like, showy roles. Wouldn't you have loved to have seen what somebody like... And we had talked about how cool it would have been to have Willem Dafoe as the Joker. But imagine, if they wanted to go the pretty boy route, imagine they went pretty boy with skills, like Gosling.
Yeah.
Or Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how freaking cool would that have been? I would love to... which is essentially what they did with Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger had played a gay cowboy one time immediately before he played the Joker. Prior to that, he'd really only done pretty boy roles. He was, you know, like, he was fine. Like, he'd done a couple different things, but it wasn't like he had blown anybody's socks off. He blew Gyllenhaal's socks off, you know what I'm saying?
Hey-o. Hey-o.
No, but, I mean, they could have done that with the Joker. And they can do that with Lestat. You still got chance. You still got a chance, Universal.
Right.
Don't fuck this up. Don't go with Leto.
Let me go.
I can see the headlines now. I was tricked into playing Lestat.
He got sucked in.
I didn't want to wear the puffy shirt.
It was a bloody mess. That was his performance. such a... You know what? If anyone needs Jared Leto to cry, Chris Whiten's here for your impression. But God. Let me go back to... Okay, summer's over, right?
Yeah, I think so.
The last thing that we
I feel
have,
like it is.
The typically it ends on Labor Day weekend, and I think on Labor Day weekend is when Mechanic Resurrection comes out. That's Jason Statham and Jessica Alba.
I saw a preview for that the other day.
So it's over.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Over.
Is this the worst? Let's go back just to the 2010s, because we go back too far, and then we'll be here forever and a day.
Mired in this.
In the 2010s, is this summer the worst crop of summer movies that you can remember?
Without having, like, a list in front of me, I would have to say yes. Because usually, like, just thinking about last year, you've got at least one, maybe two, if you're lucky, three or four movies that are, like, legitimate big blockbuster action movies, but also legitimate good movies. Last year, Mad Max Fury Road comes to mind. It's, like, it's everything. It's the total package. And I sort of felt like studios had kind of perfected that recipe there for a while, like, because it used to be like in the 80s and 90s, and especially in the 90s, it almost felt like you had to have two worlds. Like, you can either have your Pulp Fictions and your Miramax movies, or you can have a big budget movie like Twister or something like that. But you can't have both. And then in the 2000s, probably with Peter Jackson, and after that, it feels like we perfected it.
Yeah.
We can make a big budget action tentpole movie that's also just a solid fucking movie.
Yeah.
Avatar and whatnot. It's gone on for years. Last year, all the way up till last year with Mad Max. This year, did we have one? I don't think so. Some people would say that
Civil War?
Captain America Civil War qualifies. I personally don't. I think it's a little bit... Like, I definitely would not... Would you put it in the same category with Mad Max Fury Road?
No.
Okay. Well, then that answers it. I mean, it's fine. It's a good movie.
Well, I mean, it made money. It made a lot of money.
It did. It satisfies one part of that recipe I'm talking about.
But it's not... Okay, look. No one... Okay. When I saw Mad Max Fury Road,
right.
I wasn't expecting a lot. I mean, it was a movie that, you know, hey, the last Mad Max that came out was Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
30 years ago.
Yeah, 30 years ago. And then you've got George Miller coming back and Charlize Theron, Tom Hardy. You know, it's, you know, something that, okay, well, you know, maybe the, sure, whatever.
It very easily could have been a disaster.
And then you see it, you're like, holy fucking shit, that was like a 2-hour roller coaster ride. That was really, really cool. And so with Civil War, it's a continuation of things. Sure. Like, you got to watch other movies in
order
to get
set up. Did it bring anything new to the table?
No, not at all.
Is it anything that you're going to be like, one day, you're going to sit your kids down and make them watch 100 movies? Is that going to be one of them?
No, it's not.
No. Nah, if it's on TV, I'll watch it. Fine. It was on the airplane. I watched it.
Let's go back. Last summer, not only did you have Mad Max Fury Road, you also had Straight Outta Compton. That was an Oscar-nominated movie,
just
right?
Just watched it again the other night.
Yeah. Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, another good movie. This is what I'm talking about. Now, these two... Now, Straight Outta Compton and Ant-Man, it's not like I would say, like, they were, you know, some of the greatest movies ever made, but they ended up being some of the best movies of the year.
Yeah. You got,
I don't think that's going to be true of this.
Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
You saw Minions, right?
Yeah, I saw Minions.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, nothing new. Didn't Inside Out came out last summer, didn't it?
I believe it did.
Yes, it did.
Yes, because The Good Dinosaur, Pixar had two movie releases last year. Good Dinosaur at the end of the year and Inside Out in summer. Yeah, okay. So there you go right there. Like, you've already got Mad Max and Inside Out. Now, that's the difference in what I'm talking about. Rogue Nation and, you know, Ant-Man and all that kind of stuff, it's fine. Those are good movies.
Right.
The difference between those movies and Inside Out / Mad Max is what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, like, these are two movies that... Holy shit. Not only is this a big movie, tentpole movie, that's making Disney a bunch of money, or whoever made Mad Max, but it's also a movie that could potentially win Oscars, could potentially be talked about for 50 years. You know
right.
what I mean?
And don't misunderstand, too. I mean, there were duds as well. Like that, that Brad Bird directed George Clooney movie,
Tomorrowland. Yep.
That bombed, and everybody was talking about that.
Nobody gave a fuck.
Terminator Genesis.
Ugh.
Yeah, right?
Just watched it the other night.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. I actually watched it over the course of 2 nights, because I practically fell asleep in the first 15 minutes.
So
and
sorry.
Then I watched the rest of it, and man, is it bad.
2014. Mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy.
There you go.
The Lego movie didn't come out in the summer.
Did it not come out in the summer?
I don't think it did. Maleficent? Did you see that?
No, but my daughter did.
Days of Future Past? That did.
Yeah, Days of Future Past was a huge hit, and a lot of people loved it. I actually liked it better than First Class.
Big Hero 6, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Big Hero 6 is tremendous.
Did you like Godzilla?
I did. I felt like...
I think we've talked about this before.
We have, but I feel like they were sort of making a movie that... It was not a summer movie. Like, I liked it because it was more like a drama, and like the action is all in like the last third of the movie.
Right.
That's what I liked about it, but I think some people probably didn't.
Shit, even... Okay, look. Even the this movie is not good, but it's fun, and I liked it. I think you said something about it as well. Didn't Lucy come out during the summer?
I think it did, and I liked Lucy, too. Yeah, I liked it a lot. But even if you're not talking about the Insides Out and the Mad Maxes, and you're just talking about, like, good movies like Ant-Man and Straight Outta Compton, this summer that we're in, 2016, it didn't even have those.
No.
Like, it really didn't even have a lot of good, a lot of movies that you could just walk away from and go, eh, it was good, you know?
Yeah, go
see it. It's fun. There's nothing like that.
2000...
X-Men and Batman Superman and Captain America and...
Let's run through these really quick. 2013, This Is the End, Pacific Rim. Now You See Me. I mean, I don't know if anybody was really expecting a cool magician movie, but The Conjuring.
The Conjuring,
World War Z.
World War Z, yeah.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Fast and Furious 6.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Man 3. That was 2013. 2012... The Avengers, the first one.
Yeah.
Dark Knight Rises. Amazing Spider-Man. I've never seen never saw any of the Amazing.
I liked them.
Yeah, they're all right.
Yep.
Andrew Garfield's all right.
Yeah, Andrew Garfield was good.
Ted,
hell yeah.
Man,
when was the last good comedy? Fuck me. Jesus. Was it Ted? This hasn't been a good... Honestly, Sausage Party might be it, I guess, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, for, you know, like an adult, like, live-action comedy, but... We just don't get a lot of those anymore.
Well, let's just go into that, because I know that you saw it, and you were hyping it up pretty well last night when we were talking about, hey, you saw it, and everything else.
I laughed, man. You know, like, if you... Look, here's all you need to know about Sausage Party.
Yeah.
If you saw the preview, and you liked what you saw, you'll like Sausage Party. Like, if you're into that kind of humor, like, if you like dick and fart jokes...
Right, right.
...coming out of hot dogs and tacos and things like that, you know, then you're gonna like it. And it has a, you know, I mean, I mostly just smiled through the movie. It definitely probably had, I would say, 9 or 10 big laughs for me.
Okay.
Which is, that's pretty much there as far as I'm concerned. Like, that makes it worth the $10 or whatever I paid.
Okay.
But it also has a sort of 5-minute sequence at the end, which is the hardest I've laughed in a movie in a long time.
Really?
It was on, like... South Park, Terrence and Phillip, shut your fucking mouth, Uncle Fucker level. In terms of like just straight laughter. Like, I remember the first time I saw South Park and I was laughing throughout the movie, but then they get to the Terrence and Phillip, shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker song. And it's like, I was literally laughing for like 4 minutes straight of just barely breathing, certainly not talking, hardly could keep my eyes open, laughing straight for 4 minutes.
Oh my God.
Like, belly hurting. Sausage Party had a sort of 4 or 5 minute scene like that at the end of the movie for
me. Okay.
Which comes at a really good time. It's fun. It's Seth Rogen. It's James Franco. It's Jonah Hill. It's Michael Cera. Paul Rudd. A bunch of other guys. And Ed Norton plays a Jewish bagel.
Yeah.
It also has sort of a commentary on religion, which I did not see coming. They have not really marketed that aspect of it.
But probably wouldn't be a good idea to do it.
Probably wouldn't be a good idea to do it. And it probably, even fans of Seth Rogen and that type of comedy, a lot of them probably might have been a little bit turned off of it, because it's not subtle. It's pretty out there. I mean, it's very it's very, very obvious what they're doing. And so it takes a lot of shots at Christians, Jews, Muslims alike. I mean, just everybody, it's fair game. I had a lot of laughs. My wife, on the other hand, sat with her arms crossed the whole time. I could just feel the hate radiating out of her. And she's not without humor, but she's just not a fan of potty humor, you know? Like, she's not.
Wow.
I don't know what the hell she married me for then, but like, it's like 87% of my brain is dedicated to dick jokes.
Man, poop is funny. Come on. Everybody, all guys know that.
Seriously. You know, I mean, that's exactly... Poop is funny is a perfect way... You know, at one point they go to a Chinese restaurant, or they drive by a Chinese restaurant. You know, the name of the restaurant is P-U space Pings. Poopings. Pooping. Pooping. And it's just that kind of jokes. Like, if you like that kind of stuff, yep, go see it.
Nice.
I totally laughed.
How about this? Two questions. Seth Rogen, as a producer, has done now Sausage Party. Did you see The Night Before?
Oh, yeah.
Did you
I've seen all his movies. Yeah. I love Seth Rogen.
The Interview, Neighbors, This Is the End, never saw The Guilt Trip. 50-50, never saw Green Hornet. Funny People, never saw. Pineapple Express, Super Bad, Knocked Up, and 40-Year-Old Virgin. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, it is good. And by the way, Guilt Trip is a really good movie.
Yeah.
A Guilt Trip is better than something like The Interview. Like, this guy's had hits and misses.
Yeah.
Mostly hits. But even when it's a miss, even when it is, The Interview, or when it's, what was the other one he did that was just... The Green Hornet.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when it's those are still all right movies. I don't know if you ever saw The Green Hornet, but it's not that bad. You know, I mean, it's kind of fun, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Christoph Waltz is in it and stuff. Rogan is really about the best we've got right now in terms of comedy.
Shit.
Most consistent, anyway.
God, man, I completely forgot about this. You know who directed The Green Hornet?
It was Michel Gondry.
Yeah, directed Eternal Sunshine.
What ever happened to him?
I don't know. He probably needs to go back to France to get recharged up to do cool, weird shit again, like Be Kind, Rewind, or something.
Yeah, I was just about to say, because, you know, I mean, it's hard to follow up Eternal Sunshine, because, you know, obviously, you know, I mean, it's a Charlie Kaufman script, and those don't come along all the time. But he did with Be Kind, Rewind, which was a good movie. So
yeah,
I wish he would make more.
Second question, since you brought it up, because Sausage Party's got this part at the end, you're just dying of laughter, et cetera, et cetera. What is the most you've laughed in the, like, you just completely, like, lost your mind cackling, laughing at a movie as of late? Besides Sausage Party, obviously.
As of late? What, define as of late?
Give, like, 5 years, 5, 10 years.
5, 10 years?
Yeah.
I would say the two... Well, forget Sausage Party, because I wouldn't put it in that category, although the last 5 minutes does have a scene like that.
Yeah.
I remember, and this is longer than 10 years ago, but South Park obviously was right. One of those movies where I was literally, I think I actually did fall out of my seat at one point, like bent over and slipped off. The Jackass movies, three of them.
Yeah.
And the third one probably came out within the last 10 years, so I would totally put that in there.
That would be mine. The first Jackass, I laughed myself completely out of laughter when they went to go rent the car and then do the rent-a-car demolition derby, and then they tried to bring the fucking thing back.
Brandon and I were working at Busch Gardens Howlow Scream.
Yeah.
And ditched work that night to go see Jackass. And that was a fun job. Yeah. We wanted to see that movie so bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What else? Anchorman.
Yeah.
Lots of laughs when I went and saw that. And by the way, comedies are Rotten Tomatoes. Comedies and horror movies are Rotten Tomatoes proof. Because if you go on Rotten Tomatoes and look up something like Anchorman, like, you'll be astonished at what a low grade it has. It doesn't matter. It doesn't work like that with comedies, and to a lesser effect, it doesn't work that way with horror movies.
Well, but it doesn't take into account user votes or comments or certified fresh or completely rotten, et cetera, et cetera.
The experience of going out to dinner, have three martinis, and then go see Anchorman. It's like, you're gonna have a good time.
Yeah.
Hangover, one of the better. Laughter experiences I had in the last probably 10 years. Hot Fuzz.
Oh, Hot Fuzz, that's right. Yeah, 2008.
Yeah. That's it. Not a lot in recent years. Like, comedies, I don't know, I just haven't seen any in the last couple of years. I feel like there's been some high-profile ones that sort of fell flat.
So you would think that if, let me give you an example, if we were going to have a writer from 22 Jump Street, do his directorial debut with Zach Galifianakis and Seth Rogen and make it a sci-fi comedy, apparently that project isn't going to happen over budget concerns. Because they were saying that this sci-fi comedy crossover, now they're afraid that Ghostbusters didn't make enough money, even though enough money means, you know, only
$180 million.
Yeah, but...
that's not enough.
Well, shit, this movie was tentatively going to be called The Something, and now it's not going to be made, so we're going to, you know, move on to the next stupid reboot that's down the pike.
But it is weird how sometimes these things just don't work, you know? I mean, it's like The Interview, for instance. It's like, and I know that movie had a lot of bad press, but, like, it doesn't work, it's not funny, and it didn't make money, you know? Or take something like, what was the movie with... Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn and their, like, Night Watchmen or whatever. I think it's called The Watch or something like that.
God, I have no idea about that one.
Yeah, well, it came out, like, you know, right after the Trayvon Martin thing. They even had to change the...
That's right, Neighborhood Watch.
Neighborhood Watch. Yeah. Sounds perfect. Preview was funny.
Right.
Movie was not funny and it didn't make money. Why? I don't know. Didn't work. Like, bad timing. Comedies are weird, you know? Like,
The Watch. That's what it was called.
Yeah,
right.
The Watch. Comedies are weird. Like, if you don't have exactly the right timing, exactly the right placement, it's dead, you know? Shit.
And it also had Jonah Hill.
Yeah. Jonah Hill and then Richard Arroyo or whatever, the guy from the IT Crowd.
With a budget of $68 million and it made $68.3 million.
Right, which is a failure. Yeah.
So they got $300,000 to work with.
Then you got Ghostbusters and then something like Sausage Party, which cost, I think, $20 million, now made $65 or whatever it is.
Right.
Seems like it'd be a safe bet, but if the budget was up there, it's a shame because I would love to see Galifianakis and Seth Rogen in a sci-fi comedy. That sounds brilliant.
But see, but then I read something about how the animators for the film didn't get paid enough. They were being worked overtime and not getting compensated for it. Half of the animators didn't even get on the credit reel at the very end of the movie. And woe is me. You know, if anybody's going to complain, it shouldn't be Jared Leto. It should be these guys.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah.
So.
Although I don't know. Like, the overtime thing is weird. It's just like tipping. It's like there's some jobs that are tip-worthy and there's some jobs that are overtime-worthy. Like, there's millions of people around the country that work for salary, and they work over 40 hours a week constantly, and they never get any overtime. Like,
right.
Do you get overtime at your job?
Fuck no.
Yeah, see? So
40 hours, I'm fucking done.
40 hours, yeah, but then there's other jobs where it's like, hey, you've got X amount of work, and you need to get it done. Now, I'm not saying I don't sympathize with these animators. I have no doubt that Hollywood fucks them in the ass on a regular basis.
Right.
And they deserve to get paid. It's just weird how, like, I don't know, some jobs deserve it and some jobs don't.
I can't speak for other entities in my particular line of work that that do that, and they do that pretty terribly to the point where there's an 80% recidivism rate when it comes to workers in that realm. As far as we're concerned, my program... If you're over 40 hours, then we need to, number one, start talking about how to use your time more efficiently, and number two, there is no overtime. You need to go home right now.
Right.
So, I mean, that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And there is always going to be more work. It's not like, well, we're done.
Yeah.
We're done for this week, we're done for the day, but, you know, at the same time, like, we got to be decent to people, and, you know, we're not giving them anything to...
It's good that you guys feel that way, because I don't think everybody does. Obviously, the animators over at this company don't.
Right. Well, as we continue with the real thing on morelikeradio.com, let's talk about some more reboots and remakes.
Oh my god!
Because they're not all bad. They're not. I don't think they're all bad. I want to get
not
your,
all bad. Some of the best movies, some of my favorite movies of all time, are remakes.
Yeah,
you know?
I want to get your honest opinion. We'll do kind of like rapid fire. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bad Boys 3, directed by Joe Carnahan, expected to be released next year, right around June 2017, but now it's going to be released January 12th of 2018. Why, I don't know. But we're literally going to be in that period of time where things go to die, typically. But the last time that something successful came out was around that time. That was American Sniper.
Yeah. I'm okay with this, though, because, like, Bad Boys is... It's not... Number one, it's not superheroes. Number two, it's comedy. I mean, those guys, when they made Bad Boys, Will Smith was not... It's not like... Right now, we see it, and we're like, okay, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. You got an action star, and you got a comedy star. At the time, when Bad Boys was made, it was two comedy stars. Will Smith was not an action star at all.
Right, right.
So I do think that, first and foremost, they try and make these movies funny. And so far, they have. Bad Boys 1 is funny. Bad Boys 2 is funny. So I'm on board with it, as long as you got decent writers and decent directors, which you do in the case of Joe Carnahan. It's weird to me that Michael Bay is too busy making Transformers movies just to come make this movie.
But Jerry Bruckheimer's in, though.
Jerry Bruckheimer's involved, and you got Joe Carnahan. I don't think you're going to miss Michael Bay. Yeah. It's fine.
Quote, there's a lot of funny shit in this movie.
Yeah.
And there's also a mysterious but tonally spot-on story, I think, is kind of perfect. He was talking about how this is the strongest script of any of the movies, and he's not going to talk shit about the movie before it comes out.
Yeah.
So, but
Bad Boys 2, arguably better than Bad Boys 1.
Right. He did make a comment that was kind of interesting to me. I was like, all right, I'll give this a chance. Unless you're Toy Story 3, usually third ones aren't the strongest. And I think this one will be the strongest of the trilogy thus far.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right.
He's making this argument. I think it was with Baber last time we saw him. He thinks that the first Toy Story is the only good one. I'm like,
no.
You have not been watching, dude.
No.
That is a series that got progressively better as it got along.
And I didn't cry at the first one.
Or the second one. And the second one's very good. Third one,
there's lots of stuff stuck in my eye during that last 15-minute sequence.
Like a little bitch.
Yeah. Interesting to note. I didn't know.
They're reaching out for each other's hands. Just fucking little lava machine or whatever. Like they're about to fall into the incinerator.
I'm not crying, Chris. You're crying.
Shit.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
I mean, I literally was like looking at my wife like, are we fucking crying in a Toy Story movie? We're 32 and 34 years old or whatever.
Joe Carnahan is also prepping Wheel Man, an action film with frequent collaborator Frank Grillo.
Is he a frequent collaborator?
Apparently he is, because that's what it says. Okay. He's also directing the next draft of the video game Uncharted, all while setting sights on early next year.
God,
and filming.
That's like the project that'll never go away.
That's
like,
never going to.
Is it ever going to get made? People have been talking about Uncharted as a movie for years now.
Well, it's, you know, if you want to experience Uncharted the way it should be, go
play the game. Yeah.
All right, moving along. Lady Gaga. Do you like Lady Gaga?
Yeah, I like that we have Lady Gaga. I can't say that I drive around in my car and listen to Lady Gaga.
Right, right.
But I recognize that she's profoundly talented, and I'm glad she's out there.
Singer Lady Gaga and Oscar-nominated actor Bradley Cooper are joining forces to remake classic Hollywood musical drama A Star Is Born.
Yeah, I feel like she's one of these chicks that's so fucking talented that there's nothing she can't do. It's like, She can, you know, like, do the show on stage and sing all her, you know, dance music with the meat dress or the Kermit the Frog dress or whatever she wears.
Yeah.
And then she can go do, like, a classic, you know, like, lounge singer, like, cabaret album with Tony Bennett.
And nails that.
And nails it. It's, yeah, like, the, you know, winning Grammys and shit. And then it's like, all right, yeah, but what else you got? She shows up at the Super Bowl, sings the national anthem.
Nails that.
Tears, like, streaming down at the president's face and shit, you know, right, like... She's so talented. And then she was on American Horror Story, too. Like, fucking nailed that. Like, Golden Globes and shit.
And she also scared the shit out of Leo during the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Nailed that, too.
Made one of the greatest gifts in the history of the internet.
Yes.
She is so talented. It doesn't matter. I'll see it. And I also like Bradley Cooper very much. So, and this is, will be, I think, the fourth iteration of this movie. I mean, you know, we all remember... sort of the, either the Barbra Streisand one or the Judy Garland one, but there was one before that, even.
With Janet Gaynor and Frederick March in 1937.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and in this new film, Lady Gaga will be composing and performing new songs, and so...
So this is, and this brings us back to what we were talking about reboots and stuff like that. And when you think of you know, that movie, you don't think of the Frederick March one. Well, maybe, you know, my grandpa does or something, but...
Right.
Most people either think of the Judy Garland version or they think of the Barbra Streisand, Kris Kristofferson version.
Right.
Because they were remakes and they were good, you know?
Yeah.
When you think of The Fly, do you think of the Vincent Price movie?
No. I think of the 1980s...
Think the badass...
Cronenberg
movie with Goldblum's dick falling off, you know? Like, you know? Or when you think of Cape Fear, are you thinking about Gregory Peck? No, probably not. I mean, many people are because it's a good movie. Just like The Fly is a good movie.
Right.
Just like... Star is Born is good, but the one that was the best, in my opinion, was the one with Robert De Niro, the one that Scorsese made, you know, in 91 or whatever. Nolte, you know, like, I'm asking you till he touch you! Remakes can be fine. Ocean's 11's great, you know, like, Dawn of the Dead was fantastic.
Yeah. What about offshoots? Offshoots of movies.
Okay.
Okay, how about this? Turturro, John Turturro's latest project, apparently is... He's going to be revisiting classic pederast bowler Jesus Quintana. Jesus Quintana from The Big Lebowski, which is going to be called Going Places. Quote, a remake of a French sex farce is actually a Big Lebowski spinoff centered around Turturro's Jesus Quintana character, which already has a cast including Bobby Cannavale, Audrey Tautou from Amelie, and Susan Sarandon.
It's a pretty good cast. I like Turturro. I love the Jesus character. Can you think of any famous offshoot movies? The only one that springs to my mind, and I don't even know the original movie that it was an offshoot of, I just know that it was an offshoot, is The Limey with Terrence Stamp that came out in the late 90s.
You tell him I'm coming!
Yeah. It's got a great, this is a Steven Soderbergh movie, and it's a lot of fun. It's a really good movie. Nikki Catt is in it in a great supporting performance.
Okay.
Love that movie. There's an offshoot of an old British movie that was made, which no one even sort of remembers, you know?
Right.
But I can't think of many other offshoot movies.
Besides Harry Potter, which all those are starting to come out now, but nothing I can remember.
I'm sure there's like a famous one that we're just sort of not remembering. But I guess you got the Star Wars ones now. You will have like Rogue One and Boba Fett and shit like that. You know?
Right.
I'm all for it. I don't think Turturro would do it unless it was... Like, he knows that like... In terms of characters that he's played, like, I would bet you, of all the times he gets walked up to on the street or in a restaurant, I would bet more than half of those times they quote Lebowski.
Right. Well,
wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and I would think that if he's going to do it, two things are going to happen before it actually gets made, is that he's getting the blessing of everyone that was involved with it, not just Joel and Ethan Coen.
No doubt. Well, he would have to, I would think, because those are their characters.
Right. But, I mean, they could say, go ahead and make it, but, like, listen, I'm going to do this character justice.
Right.
And I want, like, you're almost like you're asking for the father's hand in marriage with the daughter and everything, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so, he's asking for that. And number two, I'm assuming he can't be doing it for money. Like, he's doing it because this is...
No.
It's almost too perfect, right?
Yeah, I think so. There's no way he's making money off this. Actually, I've long wished that the Coens would make a sequel to Lebowski. I mean, it's essentially like, you know, like just a detective story, you know, a Philip Marlowe detective story or something like that, or Raymond Chandler, you know, like I don't want them. I'm not saying I want it to happen. I'm just saying if they did it right, it could be great, you know?
Do you want to hear the plot?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. The film, which currently has no distributor, so it will be an indie in the realest sense, takes its plot from the 1974 comedy Les Valseuses, where two petty thieves, John Turturro and Bobby Cannavale, compete to give a woman her first orgasm after she's roped into their hijinks. Susan Sarandon also ends up in their company playing a criminal who just got out after a long stint in prison. And the lady in question is Audrey Tautou.
What I wonder is if, and I'll bet this is the case, the script existed beforehand and then he just molded the character to be Jesus Quintana.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, right? Yeah, you could make whatever you want as long as you could just appropriate his...
his persona into that script.
Yeah, and honestly...
which is what they did, I think, with like one of the Die Hard movies or something like that. They had like a script from somewhere else and they just turned it into a Die Hard movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, what the hell is the book, the novel that Die Hard's based off of?
The first one is based off some... I forget what it's called, but it's some bizarre old novel. And yes, you're right. Yeah, that one was turned into Die Hard.
Yeah,
same
but...
same sort of thing we're talking about.
But the other thing, too, is that, I mean, Jesus Quintana is only in the movie in the Big Lebowski for 3 minutes tops.
Yeah,
tops. But when he's in it,
it's,
I mean,
a
you're
cameo.
Like, oh, what the fuck is this? And then like, oh, I want to know more about this guy. I mean, obviously 8-year-olds.
Oh,
dude,
absolutely.
But, yeah, but you could flesh out however you want, and that just sounds funny.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing that David Lynch has been doing throughout his entire career. He introduces like one character in every movie that's on screen for 90 seconds, and you're like, oh, I need to know more about that guy. You know, whether it's Robert Blake in Lost Highway or
Yeah.
Or whatever.
All right, so those, up until now, pretty good ideas, right? Like, they're all pretty decent.
Well, it's all about the execution. It's like we've always said, like, make whatever you want.
Yeah.
Make it good.
What about Lethal Weapon and MacGyver showing up on televisions sometime soon?
What's weird to me about the Lethal Weapon, MacGyver, fine. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Make MacGyver. Like, who cares?
Did you see the trailer?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, super cheesy.
Who gives a shit? Yeah, okay. I mean, it's like, it's fine. It's the original MacGyver, super cheesy. You know, I mean, there's a difference between Lethal Weapon and MacGyver. Like, MacGyver doesn't hold up. Lethal Weapon does.
Right.
But, like, Riggs is, like, legitimately nuts at the beginning of Lethal Weapon, the movie. He's sticking a fucking gun in his mouth and tears streaming down his face and stuff like that, you know? Like, he's doing a drug deal in a Christmas tree parking lot and all this kind of stuff. Like, crazy shit, you know?
Yeah.
He's, like, unsteady, like, unstable. Nobody wants to work with him, all this kind of stuff. The ads for the new Lethal Weapon show just make it seem like he's a goofball, you know? Like, he's, like, even the poster, it's just the two of them, like, sitting on a hood of a car, like, cracking up, like they just heard a joke or something like that.
Good,
like,
cop, crazy good cop.
Yeah, that's the tagline.
Yeah.
And so it just seems like they're completely missing the whole thing. Throughout the entire movie, Lethal Weapon, Danny Glover is not really sure if he can trust this guy. He's only doing it because he's just about to retire. And
right,
as
he is
keeps
getting,
telling us,
I'm getting
he's
too
old for this shit.
Right.
Yeah, you know? So, I don't know. It feels like I'm already reading the cancellation notices for this show, you know? Like, it's going to be resting next to Uncle Buck. I mean, can you actually see this being successful?
No, but...
in this day and age.
Damon Wayans keeps getting work.
This just feels like a product of some... like, TV doesn't get it yet, you know? Like, they don't get it yet. Like, things are changing. People don't want this anymore.
Well...
I'll probably eat my words. It's going to be the biggest TV show of all time.
No, I wasn't... that expression wasn't because of that. It was because network television hasn't gotten it yet.
Network television, you're
Netflix,
right.
Hulu,
yes.
Amazon, all those other venues now, which...
100%, you're right. Yeah, and that's what I should have said.
Yeah.
And this is a network show, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it is. They don't get it. Like, this is not what people want.
Yeah.
And you got to try harder than this. And this is why people are canceling their cable subscriptions and stuff. It's like, I don't need this. Like, I don't need the fucking Lethal Weapon TV show?
Lethal
what?
Weapon?
Okay. Yeah, cancel.
All right. Well, as we wrap up on The Real Thing on MoreLikeRadio.com, it is a friendly reminder to let you know that you can follow us on Twitter, which is TheRealThingMLR. You can also follow myself, Mark_Nixon_NIXON. And Chris Whetton, do you use your Twitter account? Well, you should.
Yeah,
and you can
I need to.
And you can follow him on WhetTweet, WhetTweet.
I think of funny shit to say. I just forget to tweet it.
No, you should. We also have a Facebook page, The Real Thing MLR, that you can find us on as well. We're not actually done with the show yet because I wanted to talk about a couple of interesting trailers that have come out as of late, starting with the aforementioned director of Blade Runner 2, Denis Villeneuve, who was responsible for Sicario and Enemy and Prisoners. Did you see the trailer for Arrival?
I did.
What did you think? Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner?
Yeah, I mean, I like both those actors. And as a matter of fact, I think both of them are actors who have not gotten material that's sort of up to their talent. You know, okay. I mean, you go back and watch The Town with Jeremy Renner. Like,
yeah.
He's so good in that movie.
Yeah.
And he's been good in a lot of movies. And even in things like The Avengers, when you get a scene where it's just him talking, you're like, man, this guy's got charm. This guy's got charisma.
Yeah.
Again, imagine him playing the Joker. Like, I would love to have seen an actor like that play the Joker. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
interesting, man. That's interesting.
That's fucking interesting, man. That's fucking interesting.
Yeah.
No, I'm into it. I'm totally into it. Like, Amy Adams likewise. Like, mm-hmm. I'd love to see her get more roles, you know?
You know, when I watched this trailer, it reminded me of Contact. Remember Contact from 1998?
I mean... It does feel that way. It does feel like sort of your cerebral sci-fi movie.
Right.
Which, that's fine. I'm not a fan of Contact. I didn't care that much for it.
That was a little too long.
But it had some memorable parts. It was too schmaltzy. That's the part that I didn't care for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you'd have cut that... And that's sort of Zemeckis. That's what he kind of does sometimes.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the interesting part of it, which I think the reason why Interstellar didn't really do it for me as much as other people was because of that... the emotional schmaltzy aspect of it, but Jake Busey as the bad guy, as part of the cult, that was awesome. And then all the high tech stuff that they were doing on the sly whenever she finally gets shot into a wormhole with Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
Hey, you want to hear about Occam's Razor? So that one looks all right. Arrival is going to be coming in theaters in November, so...
the thing with me is, like, I don't care who's in it, I don't care what it's about.
Yeah.
Denis Villeneuve...
The French guy.
The French guy, he's kind of just earned our interest, I think, right? I mean, he's made, like, we don't see a lot of directors come out and make, boom, 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 three interesting, sort of movies for adults.
They're all like, different, too.
They're all different. I wasn't even that nuts about Sicario. Like, I felt...
I love Sicario.
I know a lot of people did.
Yeah.
And it's too bad it didn't come out while we were doing the show, because I don't think we've had a movie yet that we just, like, both saw that completely disagreed on. And
right.
I hope we do. But either way, even if I wasn't nuts about it, I recognized that it was a really powerful movie, like, and really super well made. It just wasn't for me. I just didn't care for the Emily Blunt. I just thought they gave her the shaft. Like, it was like, you know... Oh, you got a strong female character. She spends the entire movie crying, you know, like, and losing, by the way, at the end of it.
Getting her ass kicked.
Yeah, it's getting her ass kicked, crying and losing.
Yeah.
So sign me up. It's empowering women.
How about, maybe she can cry with Jared Leto.
I would have taken her as the Joker.
Womanly Blunt. Oh, my gosh. I would have whatever.
Yeah.
I'll just take her.
Take her. However we can get her.
The Good Neighbor.
The Good Neighbor.
It's about two teenage young guys, and they are trying to start their own internet web funny video channel on YouTube or something else. And so they decide to pick on their neighbor, which is across the street. The Good Neighbor, who is being played by James Caan.
Hmm.
You need to watch this trailer.
I do need to watch this trailer.
Because
Jimmy Caan.
Yeah. James Caan, who... doesn't seem like he's all with it in the movie, or is he? Because a bunch of weird things happen, and it starts from the very end of the movie, and then it's being told in flashbacks by these two guys with,
That's funny, because it sort of sounds similar to the horror movie that's out right now, which is...
Don't Breathe?
Don't Breathe.
Right.
It sounds like it's like very similar premise with a different delivery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that one looks a little bit more gimmicky, but I can totally see the resemblance for sure.
Huh. So, I gotta see this preview.
Yeah, I figured you would have already seen it with James Caan being in it.
I didn't, no, but I love that.
Yeah, and it's...
I love that.
And it's apparently coming out later on this month, I think.
Man, I love seeing those older actors getting like good parts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Khan's fantastic in the right movie.
And just do it as a playoff of, you know, an opposite off of what they've done before.
Yeah.
And it just like throws them off even more. But yeah, The Good Neighbor.
How fucking great is... Did you ever see Alien Nation? The original Alien Nation movie with him and Mandy Patinkin?
No, uh-uh.
It's one of those great 80s action buddy cop movies. Like,
really?
Yeah, it's like premise is like they made it into a TV show.
Yeah, I remember the TV show on ABC.
Yeah, but like, there was a movie that came out before the TV show. The TV show ran for like two or three seasons too. It was on there a while.
Yeah, it was Alien Nation and Max Headroom. I remember that
like
were on
similar period. Yeah. Before the TV show, there was a movie with James Caan and Mandy Patinkin played the alien, his partner.
Huh.
Great movie.
Weird.
Yeah, great 80s buddy cop movie.
Enigma Montoya.
Please don't use that word.
you
keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think.
Inconceivable. Speaking of inconceivable.
Inconceivable!
I didn't realize, because you also mentioned 80s action comedy movies. Beverly Hills Cop, right? Mm-hmm. With Eddie Murphy?
Sure.
Eddie Murphy's coming back.
Martin Brest? Murphy's coming back again.
Eddie Murphy's coming back.
I feel like every movie he makes is a comeback movie.
Okay. But
since like 1994.
In a movie called Mr. Church.
Oh, I saw this preview.
Did you? Then you already saw the movie.
I know.
Because it's 3 minutes long.
My God, does he want an Oscar nomination or what?
And someone called, you know what, with the complaining that we did with Suicide Squad and all the music and everything, can we please just temper it down when it comes to, and cue up the emotional resonance in this movie.
I know.
With the symbols and shit, but anyway.
This movie is so self-serious. I mean, this kind of thing that makes The Legend of Bagger Vance look like old school, you know? like, oh my God, do you want an Oscar or what? And it was like, okay, this is white family, and there's some sort of magical Negro who's going to come and cook for them, you know? I mean, that was the knock against Legend of Bagger Vance. It's like, essentially, like, they put him in the magical Negro part, is what people were saying at the time, and that's what this looks like, too. It's almost insulting. And I realize I have not seen the movie.
Right.
I don't want to judge it before I've seen it.
But you have seen it.
This marketing campaign they're doing, number one, you have seen the movie, and number two, that's what it looks like. It's just like, it's the same old crap, you know? Like, they're going to learn a lesson and be richer for the experience.
Speaking of which, you brought it up. As a reminder, Legend of Bagger Vance, do you know who's in that movie?
Will Smith.
Our friend John Langford.
Oh, that's right.
Because it was filmed at SCAD.
That's right. There's a picture of him sort of like poking his head over the top of a crowd of people.
Uh-huh.
I remember seeing that picture.
Yeah. That's so, great. Yeah, shout out to John Langford.
What up, John?
I mean, from the child that's doing the the woman that's doing the narration and just, you know, takes, and Mr. Church came into our lives, and then my mother died of cancer, and then I'm not telling you anything that you're not going to be able to see in the trailer, but, and then he sent me to college, and he was paying for us the entire time. I'm surprised he didn't die in the fucking trailer, because, I mean, they told everything else.
Seriously.
So.
Eddie Murphy, God.
Eddie Murphy has had how many chances now?
Oh my God. And that's what I'm saying. It feels like he's, like, I remember when Vampire in Brooklyn came out, and people were like, it's his comeback. And people were like, no, this isn't the comeback. Nutty Professor's going to be the comeback. That's next year. And indeed it was. It was a comeback.
Yeah.
And then he goes and, like, he's off doing Dr. Dolittle and Dr. Dolittle 2 and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's
Pluto Nash time.
Metro and Pluto Nash. Pluto, I said Pluto.
We're grown men and we're still laughing.
Pluto Nash. And it's over again. And then he's got another comeback with Showgirls or whatever, and then it's over again and all this kind of stuff, you know. It was like, he didn't win the Oscar for Showgirls. He looked so pissed.
He was pissed.
Yeah, it's like obvious. Like, oh, he deserved this, and they didn't give it to him.
Yeah. What was that, 2005?
Yeah.
Hold on.
I don't, maybe it's because he was black. I don't know.
Hey, come on now.
I don't think so. Like, well, Showgirls was not a good movie. Like, does anybody talk about that movie being good? No. I mean, is anybody watching it these days? Does it pop up on cable and you're like, oh, I'm going to watch this? No.
Nah.
He wasn't that great. He was fine, you know? Like, he's, like, aging, sort of Ike Turner-type character. But, you know, you're funny, Eddie. Make funny movies. And by the way, stop making family funny movies. Go back and make some raunchy funny movie like you used to do back in the day with Beverly Hills Cop or 48 Hours. That's what we liked. Coming to America. One of the funniest movies ever made. It's for adults. It's raunchy. It's funny. It's not you cooking grits for some poor white kid, you know?
Is it because...
teaching him about life.
Why did he take this trajectory? I mean,
I guess it's because he had kids. And, you know, so literally it's been... if you look at his career for the last 20 years, it's been nothing but that. It's been Daddy Day Camp and Pluto Nash and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, It ain't working, dude. You've been doing it for 20 years, and it ain't working. And by the way, the kids that you started making these movies for, they gotta be out of college by now.
Yeah.
Go back and make something that's funny again, you know?
Maybe I'll do, like, a Dirty Grandpa kind of revamp.
Yeah.
Like, black people or
well,
something.
Well, I mean, I don't know. He doesn't need, like... He doesn't need the money. And you don't need to go over the top. Like, you don't need to make something that involves, you know, like, jizz and stuff like that. But, like...
maybe. I also laugh for jizz, too, so...
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those words. You spell it with a G or a J?
With a J.
J, okay. Yeah. All right.
With a G. Sure. Who the fuck spells it with a G?
I don't spell it that much. You know, very rarely.
When you're writing a check.
Very. In the what's it for column, you know?
Oh, what up? Cashier's check.
Deposit.
Cashier's check. An American Express cashier's check.
I'm standing at Amscot. I'm like, hey, can I use your Google for a second?
You asked. So here it is.
Best support. I guess it is a J.
I guess it's a soft J.
Might have been to a J.
guess who we lost against.
In what? Showgirls?
In Showgirls, okay. Yeah. From the...
It's going to be a new tradition for us. We'll read the best supporting actor category every show for 1 year.
Best films of 2006. He was
2006? That's when Showgirls came out?
No, Dreamgirls.
Oh, Dreamgirls. I've been calling it Showgirls for the last 10 minutes. Now that's a good movie.
That's a good movie. He, Mark Wahlberg, The Departed, him and Dreamgirls, Jimon Hounsou from Blood Diamond, Jackie Earle Haley from Little Children. Remember Little Children?
Yeah.
That fun romp.
What the hell ever happened to Todd Field?
They actually they lost to Alan Arkin from Little Miss Sunshine. Sunshine, excuse me.
Again with the goddamn fucking chicken. Those are all pretty good performances.
I'd probably still give it to Arkin.
I'd give it to Arkin. I think Eddie Murphy and Jimon Hounsou are probably the two weaker ones in there, and probably Wahlberg too, because he's just doing Wahlberg. You know,
he's just doing what he was
blow going... me. Not literally though. Unfortunately, there's no promotion in it for you.
He's just doing what he's gonna do with the Wrong Guys.
It's what he did for the previous 10 years, and what he's doing for the next 20 years.
I'm a peacock. I need to fly. I need
the
to be
other
able...
guys, not the wrong.
Oh,
guys.
The other guy. Sorry,
man. We are fucking movie titles up here.
We should probably stop them.
Other guys.
Yeah, so we will leave you. We will leave you with New Attitude from Patti LaBelle from the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack.
Oh yeah,
Chris Royton, always a pleasure.
Likewise, man.
It was a lot of fun, and I will talk to you next week, ladies and gentlemen. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm not saying this for any other like. Just follow us. We need the attention. We love attention. It's a New Attitude, the real thing on MoreLikelyDay.com. Thank you.